Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful that you can join us again. Those of you that are tuning in via Facebook, as well as our podcast platform on blogtalkradio.com. We're grateful. This is Talk Straight, and that's what we intend to do. It is a national dialogue that allows Building Families and Communities Institute to share its national-based research model for saving young men in particular. And there's an emphasis on families. We realize that increasingly young ladies are at risk as well. Nonetheless, that's the thrust of our conversation. Month of March, we've been dealing with three pillars of a viable community. We identified those as the pillar of education being a major pillar, economic vitality or structure is being another pillar, and theology. Tonight, of course, is the 29th of March. This is our last Thursday for the month of March. And as we promised, we will be wrapping up our conversation for this week relative to theology with our topic tonight, how to change urban American tenets of distrust in marriage. And as you might figure, marriage is the institution. It's the structure for healthy family development. Family is the building blocks for any community. Unfortunately, however, what we will discuss is the fact that far too many home structures in urban America find themselves guided by these tenets of distrust in the seriousness and the significance of marriage as a foundational principle, and subsequently the family suffers. And ultimately, it is children who are the greatest casualties. So tonight, join me as we have this discussion. If you're just tuning in, I offer a monologue, about 15-minute monologue, where we give background and context for the conversation that we'll engage in tonight. We hope to have Pastor Ricky Waller to join us, our regular panelist and host, co-host, if you will, author of the very powerful book, Still High. And that's on our website. We are grateful for him being with us since 2016, and we hope he'll be able to tap in with us. Hope you can join us tonight. The number to give us a call here live is 657-383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. Be happy to entertain your question and comment. We only ask that you keep it as relevant as possible to our topic for tonight, and that we respect the difference of opinions that we may have. I don't expect everybody to agree with me. We offer our position and take it for what it's worth, consider it, digest it, and what take from it what you can. And that's what we'll do tonight. But certainly we've taken time, BSC Institute, those of us there, which is a nonprofit, based on a nonprofit organization out of Nashville, Tennessee. Yours truly is the chief researcher and lecturer for our traveling series. We put together some case studies, historical case studies, to help understand how and why we got where we are, most importantly, how and when we can move further and improve and do better. All right? That being said, I'm going to go ahead and move into our monologue here now. Again, the number is 657-383-0944. We invite you to give us a call and be a part of this dialogue. We're talking again from the topic, how to change urban American tenets of distrust in marriage, which is a significant issue. Don't want to offend anyone tonight, but we are going to speak about the root cause that so many marriages crumble, have a rather high percentage of, and we're not just talking about African-American, we're talking about nationally in America, I believe it's somewhere between an 80-85% failure rate of marriage at this point. It was at one point in the 70s, but I believe it's about 80-85% now. Marriage rates that are, divorce rate is what I'm trying to say, excuse me. And that's significant. And interestingly enough, a lot of this coincides with the church. And again, the intention of this is an academic discussion, and our intention is to offer resolution, all right? Nonetheless, Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verses 4 through 6 reads, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The concept of marriage originated from the Bible. It was instituted by Jehovah Elohim, the Lord God, as a means of making man, male and female, commit to or make him complete within himself, recognizing that God made him male and female, according to the Genesis account. When the male and the female components of man commit to working as one entity, then man is apt to fulfill the purpose and function that the Almighty created him for. All right? I'm going somewhere. Over the last 40 to 50 some years or so, we've noticed a trend in American society. And I just made reference to it about the divorce rate. And that is that the promise of a lifelong commitment until death do us part has become extinct. Fact, it's been moved to the side. Okay? As a result of major shift in policy making from the national level on down, as well as economic shifts in the workforce and the desire for women in particular and men to go to work and compete for the same jobs. Even in the educational attainment, it seems as though young girls are being encouraged increasingly that as opposed to viewing marriage and things of that nature, you should strive to get an education so that you can compete with your male counterpart. It's where we are, people, and it is what it is. There is a result, however, of these realities, and that is a major shift in these policies and things of this nature have led to the norm becoming abnormal and a change in what has become normal. In fact, today it is expected that children naturally should and would become children of single parents. It's just accepted as a reality now, and that has become in its own way the norm. In fact, children grow up in homes with the expectation that it is impossible for me to think that my parents can stay together forever. And I'm not talking about all children, okay? Specifically, I'm speaking about the urban American experience. And I'm going to try to identify why this is so prevalent in particular in the urban American experience, okay? And again, I want to be clear, I'm not suggesting that this is just a monolithic problem for African-Americans, because there are other ethnic groups that face it as well, particularly Caucasian, our white brothers and sisters, they experience it as well. But the reality is, more than anybody else within the African-American urban experience, there is a particular set of circumstances that serves as the driving force behind the demise and the setback and the failure. If you're old and grown and gray, you know, you may have missed out. We're not really trying to turn the hands of time around for you, but we're really trying to make life better for the babies. So the sooner we can fix this problem and we can get everybody back on track, the better we will be off. Historically, it's been the death of a husband, a spouse, that causes a man or woman to become a single parent. But as I was alluding to, over the last 50 years or so, coincide with integration and things of that nature, certain policies, public policies, and social trends have led to the fact that now people are making babies and they ain't thinking about nothing else. All they're concerned with at the moment is their pleasure. So there's no planning for children. There's no commitment in family. Okay? And that has become a norm. This is why the Apostle Paul in Hebrews spoke of marriage being honorable in all ways. There's nothing to be ashamed of. But what has happened is that people have lost faith in the institution. And that's really what we're talking about tonight. Today, a single parent results from either a separation or divorce, and more, the outright intentional act of bringing children in the world with no intention to be married. And the thing we say is that I made it. I grew up with a single parent. I didn't have no problem. I turned out pretty good. I'm a good person. Well, that may be true, but that's not what was intended. And the vast majority of people who face that circumstance or grew up under those circumstances don't have the success that the one that made that statement does. So there are exceptions even to that new rule. When we look at the custody battles and family courts and what have you, the fight is over who should keep the child. And generally, the mother gets the child. The assumption is that she's more nurturing and capable of doing things better. And ultimately, the father gets moved out the picture. And we talked about this some, how in the absence of fathers, children do worse by far in school. They tend to be more prone to engage in gang-type activities and to commit violence toward another person. They tend to be more likely to become addicted to drugs and alcohol. That's what all the data says, the national data. And there's a tendency for those boys to lose a sense of themselves and to become depressed and or a menace to society. So you see this idea of justifying the annihilation of the father, but more importantly, the breakdown of the family because of this distrust in the institution of marriage. I'm kind of seeing why God put it there from the beginning now. You understand. I'm not saying, well, suppose you're not somebody that believes in God, that you don't go to church, you don't do that type of thing. Well, the truth of the matter is, you don't have to go to church to make a baby. But you do need to do certain other things in order for that child to have the healthiest upbringing and to be able to fulfill its purpose in creation. All right? I am saying that. Now, fathers have a tendency, brothers, to make excuses. Well, this and that happened, and, you know, that old woman and so forth and so on, and I would be there, but. And then some of them mean well. They want to. There are some legitimate reasons why they're not there. But irregardless of what the reason is that is made by the biological dad or mom, the progenitors, male or female, that does not erase the fact that there is a direct impact on the young people, which is why marriage was intended to develop a communication and a trust between two humans, a male and a female, that become one, and they make the promise to themselves and to their children that we're going to raise you according to certain principles and the fear and admiration of the creator of the universe, and we're going to prepare you to become a citizen of the world. What a promise. That's the context of marriage. Now, we're talking about urban America, though. We've listed the characteristics of urban America so we can define the geographical location of what we're talking about. And specifically, as we look at the statistical data relative to crime rates and poverty and poor education, and we look at violence of all kinds, particularly street violence, and we look at who it is that the data says is committing these things, particularly black-on-black crime. 95% of all the issues related to black-on-black crime, those cases that are reported by the FBI, it's one black person against another black person, and they're males by and large. Now, sadly, females are becoming more violent and aggressive in the last 10 decades or so. We've been seeing that. But I think that's because the movie portrays that. The media has an impact on those type of things. All of these are instigations. And you notice we talked about in previous shows how it was intended for the father and the mother to be the primary voices of influence in the life of their children. Not Superman, not Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny, but their parents, their father and their mother. Things happen where they can't always do that, and there's a need for a surrogate parent. But what is intended is what we ought to work to make our norm and maintain that norm. Okay? Now, I want to point to a few factors here that lead to the distrust between the male and the female that'll hook up. You can get together, but for some reason or another, you can't stay together. What is it? Is it something in the water? I think not. There's a phrase that says where there's no romance, you ain't getting no romance if you ain't got no finance. So it makes it predicated on money, on material wealth. That's not a good reason to get together. Because today, I can have money. And depending on what happened tomorrow, I might be broke as a rusted nail. Does that mean that the relationship I had, particularly with the mother of my child, I should forsake that because of money? I think not. Oftentimes, if I am on a certain economic level, I don't have a job, and the mother of my children depend on public assistance and welfare to feed my children. Well, the government dictates what goes and what comes. I'm seeing now that some are pushing for legislation that says you got to work in order to get food stamps, right? There are a lot of augmentations where the government is getting involved and they're putting their nose in families' business. And sometimes in the interest of the children, I don't know, sometimes we think it may be warranted. But nonetheless, what we're seeing is that these are some of the instigations. Well, who does the mother listen to? First of all, you didn't marry her. You ain't got no business getting with her if you ain't trying to marry in the first place. Amen, Wall. But the second thing is that you still hadn't married her. You ain't dead. You ain't going nowhere. And oftentimes, you fellas have a tendency to hop around, you understand, and spread themselves around. Well, you still have negated obligation and responsibility. Not beating you up, brother. I'm just explaining to you why in the urban experience, we have this cycle that tends to repeat itself over and over and over again. But more importantly, before we leave tonight, we'll find out how to break that cycle and make a difference for it. Male-female competition. I made reference to earlier how, unfortunately, success is defined as being able to outdo your male counterpart or your female counterpart. I don't never want to get into a scuffle or a fight with a female, because I'm convinced I ain't going to lose, and I would never want to see her hurt. Why are we competing? What are we competing for? We should be working together as one. This idea of a woman's independence. Now, I know. 657-383-0944. I'm going to be finished in just a minute. What y'all talk to me about that now? I mean, because this idea of a woman's independence. Come on, Facebook, talk to me. What does it really mean? What does it really mean? If God didn't make male and female to make a man whole, who's independent? Well, maybe y'all will talk to me about that. But this is a factor that leads into distrust in the institution of marriage. Okay? This idea that I want to sow my oats, I don't want to settle down and commit myself. I can make a baby, but I don't want to commit myself. That's on the male and the female. You understand what I'm saying? I'm out here, you know, I'm trying everything out. I'm a player, Mac Daddy. Help us, Holy Ghost. Well, it leads to an ultimate end. The sugar daddy concept. I don't want to make no commitment. You don't have to commit me. In fact, you can be married and mess around with me as long as you be my sugar daddy. You pay for everything, and you pay my bills. You take care. You keep me happy, and we'll take care of one another like that. Dysfunctional. What happens in the end is, particularly when children are born in that circumstance, they become the victims of that decision on part of two chronologically grown adults, male and the female. Sometimes it's babies that are out here making babies. And I'm not just talking about the chronological babies. It's some chronologically grown babies. You're 40, 30, 40, 50 years old, and you still think like a child. With all due respect now, you may not agree with me. Give me a call. You know the number. Lastly, it's mama's baby and daddy's maybe. What? Say what? Where's that from? I know y'all done heard this before. It's mama's baby and daddy's maybe. Help me, Holy Ghost. Now, I want you to listen to these ladies because there was a time, even in the black experience, when a lady would look you in the eye and unequivocally say to you, I'm yours. You ain't got to worry about me going nowhere else. You don't believe it? 1972. These ladies right here, they called themselves Love Unlimited. They were the backup singers for Barry White. Listen to what they say just for a second, and then we'll open up our phone line. This is Talk Straight. The number is 657-383-0944. Love Unlimited. Listen to him for a second. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Ruben Docker. You're listening to Talk Straight. Let's get right into it. The topic is how to change urban American tenets of distrust in marriage. Y'all help me tonight. Pastor Ricky Waller, good evening, sir.
Hey, now what's going on? Good evening to you,
Pastor
Docker.
And I got my good friend, brother, Outcast 1098. What about it, brothers? How you doing?
Okay.
All right.
Look here, gentlemen. Look here, 1972 is about 40-some years ago, right, Alcan?
That's right. Why didn't you pay the soul children?
You know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all don't play like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. When a young lady look you in the eye and tell you, I belong to you, they can't take me from you. Where's that day gone, man? What happened? What happened? Talk to me, y'all.
Hey.
Culture, time change, time lapse, time warp.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's been a time warp. But I don't know. You know, just when you were talking, I caught some of the monologue.
Okay.
When you were talking, when I think about relationships, which we've discussed this once in the past before. Sometimes it's all about lust.
Yeah,
somebody loves
yeah.
somebody, and somebody don't truly love somebody. You know.
Perhaps
they've been playing a part in the breakdown also. And like you stated,
right.
you know, for the moment, it's about that feeling. You know what I'm saying? You know.
Right.
That pleasure. If you find a
you
good
know,
woman. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, the funny thing is, man, we've gotten to a point now young people don't believe that marriage is even necessary because you can play like you're grown and like you got it all, and you ain't got to make no commitment, man, and walk off and leave innocent lives to be victim of our behaviors. Now, I say our because, this is something we got to work on, man. And this is a real deal, and we really need to be true about why it is our babies today have this notion. Young ladies now feel like it's okay for them to play the field. You know what I mean? Now that's just something about that that just ain't right for a young lady to put herself out there like that. Am I wrong about that? Let me ask Pastor Wall. Is that wrong of me to say that, Pastor?
No, I don't find no wrong in the truth, you know, because that's what makes us free. It's when we learn what's going on, and
right.
that's a good thing to learn, you know, because most of us don't really know And then when you don't know, you go for what you do know. And that's what's happening here right today. And I think you said something about, you know, being independent, you know, and it's almost like a competition, one against the other, you know, who's going to be the guy, you understand? I make more money than you. I think you said that. That was pretty heavy, man, because I personally don't agree with that. You know, you make more money than me. Don't make no difference how much money you make. That don't take away from the order that God put in motion. Now, if you don't know the order that God put in motion, then you will stand on, I make more money than you. You can't tell me what to do, you know. I don't know if that's the case, but if it's genuine, you know, then I think it's going to be the way it's supposed to be. It's an order type thing. And, you know, I'm guilty, man, because I didn't have no knowledge myself. And I only went for, and I would say this, most of the guys I grew up with, our parents, most of them were married. And, you know, and in the midst of most of them being married, but a few of them actually stayed the course. In other words, there was divorce in those marriages. And so I found myself looking at marriage as a joke, you know, not knowing anything about the way it should be and all the vows or anything like that. I just know that they was divorced. You know, that was the bail. You know, is that they are divorced, and it's like there's no need of me getting married or thinking about getting married. Or, and then you went on to the mama's baby and the dad is maybe type thing. I mean, that also has a place as well. So it was a bunch of confusion there in my early stage, you know, and that's why I say, man, I'm guilty in that area. I need to sit down and become a student willing to learn how it really goes. And that's what I've done.
Go ahead, finish your thought. I'm sorry.
You know, go ahead.
You said that, and it reminded me of, I was going to mention the Outcast and you as well, that the condition of getting welfare back in the 70s was that it can't be a man there. So if you were trying to be a young couple and you wanted to be married, you didn't qualify for public assistance because there was a man at home. So what a lot of couples would do would lie like they wasn't married when they go and fill out the paperwork, right? And y'all know the first day of the month, what they call that, Outcast? That's Mother's Day, ain't it?
Yeah, Mother's Day, welfare day.
You know what I mean? When the man gonna step back in, and he'll be at home then, he gonna be with you for a few days till the social worker come in and check things out around the mid part of the month. Then he had to cut out again. Well, young girls and boys grew up with this as a model, and interestingly enough, it was in urban neighborhoods where they had to rely on public assistance, living in the housing projects and other Section 8 houses and what have you. These government rules made it difficult for a man and a woman to even be motivated to try to work together, even though they were struggling. You know, what about that, Outcast?
Well, I agree 100%, but I remember coming up into the 70s, you know, it was a vast amount of blacks on welfare, you know, even though a lot of them weren't living in the project, they was on welfare.
True.
I don't ever remember a social worker coming to the house. But I do realize that when those women went to apply for welfare, they would have to say that they were single and things of that nature. I mean, coming up throughout my childhood, visiting the project, going to the project, my friends, you know, their fathers, you know, they live right there in the project with them, you know. But what happened was in this cycle, the parents on welfare, the daughters, you know, they come along, they want to have babies, and they don't want to leave mama. So in the long run, they were just shoving the men off. And I mean, they were good men, you know, willing to take care of their children and things of that nature, you know. And it was a breakdown there, you know. I don't know what they were doing up north and out west. I can only speak for what was going on down south here. I'm quite sure, you know, the Reverend, he can probably speak on that also, you know.
Yeah. Well, what about that, Pastor Wallace? What do you recall that being the case in terms of the the intervention of the case manager and what have you for you, for those that were on public assistance?
I mean, Outkaz is right about that, because I didn't have a chance to experience, you know, the social worker coming by myself. And
okay.
And I know that they have put emphasis on that about separating the two, and not even though knowing that they're not married, but I mean, if they stand together and if you're going to get assistance, you know, he's not supposed to be there. And a lot of that was going on. And I'm sure that in an increased manner, it was going on, but that was purposely driven to separate the possibility of coming together and to working things out or working through some situation, as you were saying, Pastor Dockery. So, you know, and I think that system was made up, almost some would say, to prepare you to get better, and then you also have to look at it as, you know, for some is to keep them with that mindset of, well, I don't have to do that because I'm having a couple of dollars given to me once a month, you know, that type of thing, which I found it to be ludicrous, you know. But, man, I mean, it was just tough to know that knowledge is king. See, this is the thing that I like to say today. If we have the knowledge of how important that can become, you know, when people don't know, as I said, you know, it's just something about going for what you do know. Whatever learning behavior you happen to be into is what a person happened to learn, man. I was on the street today, and some young brothers, you know, not getting far from what we're talking about. These cats out there, man, you know, they're caught up, and they're doing things, and they're highly intelligent outcasts. I talked to a few of them today, man, and, you know, had a chance to let them know, you know, that I'm here for you all, brother, and I just wanted to share with you. You don't have to run from me. I'm all right. You can talk to me anytime you all feel like it. And,
right.
You know, they was kind of open. So they stayed the course for about 30 minutes, man. That's a long time, brother, to
That's
have those
time,
brothers undivided attention. You know, yeah. And we talked about some things, and they read a little bit of the book, you know, little segments out of it and things. And one guy said this to me, man. I love what he said. Out of the three, one of them confessed and said, I'd like to get a job, man, and you know anybody hiring? And says, and he's 18. And then he said, because I'm tired of robbing. Did y'all get what I said?
Yes,
man?
I do know where you can get a job. Yeah, yes, I do.
I told him I'd check and everything, you know what I mean? And I said, don't forget you said that to me, brother. I said, you said that. You asked me, you know, do I know where I can get a job at, because you're tired of robbing. I mean, the brother just outright, just straight out said that he was tired of doing that, man. So you can only, but he said, I got to give you some money. And so that's it was interesting just to hear them open up to me. In other words, you know, they had somebody that was concerned for what they're dealing with. And I don't know if they've got a girlfriend that they're staying with. I don't know what it is. I just know it's tough, man. And we have to do something to make this other generation that's coming can do things a bit different than what we who got caught up were doing, man, you know.
And that's really where it is. Absolutely.
So I appreciate that, man. You say you got somewhere for a brother to be able to.
I'll text it to Reverend Dockery tomorrow. And this place here, you know, this place that I'm talking about, they don't do drug tests. They don't do background checks or anything in that nature. See, this is what I be saying all the time. Just because you've been to prison, that doesn't mean that there are not jobs out there that you can't get. And I think the job here starts off, I think, about 11, and I guess, you know, you work your way on up. But it's not a $7.25
job.
Yeah.
It's a job, man.
I mean, you know, you got a lot of people. But as you know, Reverend Dockery, you got people out here working for $7.25 an hour.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if I had to work for it, I'd do it, you know.
You know what I mean? Hey, let it do what it do, baby. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but see, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. 1080 joined the conversation. Welcome, 1080, to the conversation. I think that's Brother Charles. Welcome, Brother Charles.
All right, you
know where the refrigerator is, man. Get in where you fit in. Go ahead, Outkast.
Right.
I cut you off. Go ahead, Outkast.
Yeah, but see, this is what it's about, you know, trying to help the ones that basically want to help themselves. I say all the time, you know, even though a person has been incarcerated and things of that nature, life is not over. But still to have to come across someone, you know, like Reverend Waller and yourself to talk to, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this is something else that that I always try to do. You know, I was talking to my wife yesterday. I said, you know what? I said, yeah, bargain hunt, you know, they're hiring, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of guys out here need jobs. Like I said, no background check, no drug check, you know, no drug test or nothing.
Right, right.
All they have to do is work. I'll fax you all the, I'll email, well, I'll send you, you know, my little phone bill. You know, I'll text it to you. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'll make sure I get that information. We kind of veered away from our topic tonight. I don't want us to do that. How to change urban American tenets of distrust in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But let's bring that back to the young guys you were talking to, Pastor Waller. What is the motivation for them to settle down and start a family in the context of a healthy, committed marriage? You understand what I'm saying? And what would it take to get this young brother off the street from robbing people in that type of, in that position? That's really, I think, the question that we should ask. But here's what I want us to do, grown folk, to do tonight. I want us to analyze what the examples we laid before them, Pastor Waller. And I want us to be honest about the fact that it is what they have observed and what they continue to observe from people they see as being their parent, a person of influence, mm-hmm. and even people that they're supposed to get information from, right? For a second, let me introduce this along those lines. Do y'all know who Don Covey is? This is his song. This is Don Covey's song, and Charles, this is still going on today, man. What he's talking about is still going on today. Hold on one second. Check out what he's saying, and we'll talk about it on the other side. All right. Whenever the computer decides it's gonna catch up with me.
Yeah.
It does at some time, Outcast. You understand?
Yeah.
There we go. Now I believe it's gonna
take
be
your time.
Yeah, take your time.
Yeah. So, but as it get itself, as it warm itself up, the truth of the matter is that there are good people who don't realize that what we have said and what we've done is in many ways what the babies are trying to emulate. And the problem is they don't understand that we didn't know, Pastor Waller. We were ignorant ourselves, and we didn't know any better. I believe if we knew better, we would have done better. But unfortunately, we were operating in the blind, and that became the set mode of example for a lot of people, and it became the normal type of behavior. And at the end of the day, we ask ourselves, how did we get it? All right, here we go.
Yeah.
All right, come on now, computer. There ain't nothing but the devil is out there.
I just got finished giving the hotel manager back the room key. Paid my bill. I was outside in the car. In the shadows of the parking lot. Telling the woman I was with how happy she made me. Kissing and hugging. And all of a sudden, another car pulled up on the parking lot. But I couldn't believe my eyes, because the woman that was sitting in the front seat beside another dude turned out to be my old lady. Lord, I was checking out. And she was checking in. Let me tell you, people, I was checking out.
Pastor Waller, why we do that?
I don't know, man, but I don't remember that name, but I remember that song.
Oh, yeah, hey, me too.
You know.
All I can say is Johnny Taylor, who's making love?
Let me go to somebody who understands. Charles, help me out, man. Why is it that we take the notion, Charles, that because I want something, I'm going to go out and get it, even though I've made a commitment already? Now, at the end of the song, he said, Charles, I guess my dirt has caught up with me.
Oh, yeah.
What about that, Charles?
It sounds like it's going through a lot to me, but, man.
He having some problems, ain't he?
Yeah, he's going through a lot, man.
Now, interestingly enough, as you listen to the song, he's regretting what he did, 1098, because he that he got a wife and he got children at home. He said in the song, he said, she ought to have been at home taking care of the kids. But when
That's
I was checking out, she was checking in.
That's right.
Uh-huh. I remember
that
song.
What do you think
children
are going to do when they see that, and they see that this is what the relationship is based on?
Most of them, I believe, would do just what they are seeing by way of evidence, you know. In God say we walk by faith and not by sight, but in the world it's vice versa. You know, it's out of sight, out of mind. But if I see it, that's what I believe. And if that's the case, you know, for the most part, I guess that's what they would follow suit for the most part now. And and I'm sure that that's prevalent. That's why I say I wasn't too interested in becoming married. And you know, I'm not, you know, making an excuse about how I lived or anything like that. But I was far away from that thought. That thought wasn't even on the agenda because I had already captured a style of living, and it did not have to do with that at all. Only reason why I can say that and mean it is because all of the guys I come up with, for the most part, parents were separated, was divorced, you know, and so it never was an interest of mine as a result of that. So you got to be mindful of what you do in front of people, you know. Yeah. What you're doing,
you know, my parents
separated
when I was about 8 years old, Pastor Waller, and I never will forget asking myself the question, what they doing? You know, it wasn't until I became an adult and talked to my dad, man, what y'all doing? Because I got comfortable to having both of them there, you know what I mean? And what it was 12 of us. It was 12 of them. Hey, what y'all doing?
Oh, man.
And if I could have, Charles, I probably would have tried to whoop both of them and say, y'all go over there and sit down somewhere and behave. But that rest they soul, both of them are resting in peace now. I'm just saying, Charles, if I could, I'd say, man, get on over there and behave. That. Y'all know better than that. Y'all supposed to be married. You understand what I'm saying, Charles?
I do, man. I do.
If children can get their parents right, man, boy, you know, look, you know, you ain't got no business over there clowning like that. Get on over there and act right, mama, daddy. But that's like the dog, the tail wagging the dog, ain't it? Ain't supposed to be like that.
Yeah, that's tough.
It is. And when you think about it, though, now I'm gonna jump on me now, Outcast, as a preacher. I'm gonna get on myself now. What happens too often is that when people come to the church or to the pastor for resolution and for counseling, for answers, one of the reasons why so many black men in particular run away from the church is because they don't get the answer that they're looking for. And the answer that they're looking for is, how can I be a viable fixture in my family and in my marriage? Because, you know, growing up in America, since slavery, there have been a lot of challenges to black masculinity and authority. That's just a cold fact in reality. Some people don't want you to be no man. In fact, I'm scared the way society seems to be encouraging young boys to be weak and not even concerned about being responsible. That concerns me greatly. So there's a major threat to the idea of a boy growing up and standing up and being a man, you know, because you're going to hurt somebody's feelings or you're going to make somebody mad. Well, wait a minute now. Explain that to me like I'm 3 years old. Why I got to stop being a man just to make you feel good? Somebody help me with that. Anybody? What do you say, Charles?
The reason.
That's a tough decision for a child to make, especially without the example of what a man is. Because people got different examples of what a man is. It's like, man,
that is so true.
It depends on how you define it.
Yeah. We definitely have to define that for ourselves culturally. Let me tell you, Donovan, Professor Robinson, as a matter of fact, has shared with us on Facebook. He says, if the requirement for public assistance includes the male not being in the household, then take the necessary steps to get off welfare. Implement a plan that reduces dependence on welfare, improve our economic condition, and leverage our collective strength to control the government. We are the government. Great-grandma on welfare in the system forced the father of her children out. The grandma is on welfare and the system forced the father choose to stop. Men, get a job. Get five jobs. What is he done just threw a monkey wrench in the conversation.
What
about that? Huh? I hope he gives us a call here. 657.
Yeah. I like to hear him talk.
383-0944. What do you say, Alcat?
Yeah, I like to hear him talk. Yeah, get him on the phone. hopefully he'll call. You know,
he
did throw a wrench in it, though. He did throw a wrench in it. But going back to what I witnessed is coming up in the 60s and 70s and things of that nature, you know, the women was on welfare in the project. The husband was there in the project living with them. You know, somewhat like they got the boyfriends, you know, living with them in these projects now. You know,
I seen that too.
Not too much of anything, right? You know, and there's no social worker coming down through there. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, they came to our house now.
Just up north, right?
Yeah. Well, in Chicago, I remember seeing them come through there.
Okay.
Yeah. They come looking all up under your beds and what have you. I'm like, man, who are these people? Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, but see, down south, they weren't doing that. You know, it was in Tennessee anyway. I don't know about Alabama, I'm sorry.
No, they weren't doing much of that.
I think you're right. The enforcement level was different in the south than it was up north. And interestingly enough, the north knew that there were a lot of people during that time in the 40s and 50s still migrating from the south. And so they were really trying to control it. You know, an interesting fact about welfare, it was started after World War II, and it was really established for the soldiers who died their widows, right? And it was to intend to look out for them to make sure that they got what they needed, the current welfare system that we have. But over time, black people who left the South and came up North and things of that nature, they pushed for inclusion in that federal program, particularly the food stamp program. And FDHA, they said, okay, when they part of the civil rights movement and what have you, brought light to it, so they included black folk in it. And unfortunately, I'm concerned that it had an adverse effect because it became a crutch for many people. Now, I'll tell anybody, I'm a food stamp baby, Charles. I grew up on welfare. My mama, she had it too, and she worked herself off of it. She worked and got a GED, went back and got a associate degree, a bachelor's degree, and a master's degree.
Wow.
I appreciate her doing that because she was determined not to make that the rest of her life, you know. But I'm just saying, there are a lot of people I knew, at least three or four generations of people lived in the same building, and they were happy. They were satisfied.
Yeah.
No marriage, no husband, no father. That family became, each generation repeated that cycle of the single parent family model. I'm not knocking them, simply saying that today it explains why so many of our beautiful young ladies serve themselves up to the notion that it's okay to make babies and not have fathers in a home, in a family type context.
Oh yeah, it became popular.
I accept your thought on that, which that is correct. I have sisters. My baby sister's dead. I have four sisters living now, two half sisters, which I don't call where they're not my half sister. They're my sister. You know, we had the same father and the same mother. All four of those women, at least all five of them, my two older sisters worked all their lives. Whatever on welfare and things. You know, all my sisters worked. I had two sisters that got on welfare, but believe me, they wasn't on there a good year and a half. They went to work, and they've been working ever since. You know, my older sisters, you know, they're retired. My sister Danny, she worked out in Shelby County Pen Farm out there. She's retired. But those women, you know, I'm not saying it because of my sister, man, but they were hard-working women. And I honor and respect them, you know.
Sure. And look, we got to say this. We must say this. There are a whole lot of women that we don't even know about, man, that took the lemon and the water they got and put sugar in it and made lemonade. You know what I mean? Yeah. So they dealt with what they had to deal with. I take my hat off to them. I appreciate that song, the one talk about that we sing on Mother's Day. Who was that Pastor Wallace that sing that song? Sadie. Don't you know I love you, sweet Sadie? You understand what I'm saying? Professor Robinson, he tells me that his phone is getting bad reception where he is, so he's just sharing with us on Facebook. They are comfortable, and this becomes their reality, is what he says. The solution exists. And he goes on to say that the solution exists, and it is uncomfortable for us to talk about change. You think that's part of the problem, Pastor Waller? That some people are afraid to change their behavior and their course of life?
Well, I think once you're in an environment, it's not so much as uncomfortable talking about change. It's sometimes people don't know how to step up to change. And when you are in a situation a lot of times, and for instance, just let's say it's a miserable position to be in, but there's a company that misery brings forth, and when you get used to it, it becomes popular, you know what I mean? And then it's like, you know, especially if I'm lying to myself, let's just say if I'm lying to myself, you know what I mean? You gotta be, just get with the truth and I'll stop lying to myself. If I tell myself, and I'm going to say this right here because it's an experience I had. I told myself I was going to use drugs the rest of my life. What was I doing? I was lying to myself.
Okay.
You know, and as soon as I made that move, of course, it was strange to me when I made that move, when I started to see myself being free. It was very strange and everything, but I like it better now that I am free. But I'm just using for an example. Sometimes it's just a thing where you got to find out what the truth is.
Right.
And then you step up here.
Hold that thought, Pastor.
Yeah.
But if you walked up to most of my people, you know what they'll do to it? They pull a gun or a knife out and kill it.
Because
they don't want to hear no better.
Don't know no better. Don't know any
correct
better.
Correct when I'm wrong, man.
Yeah. A lot of them just don't know no better, man. I mean, that's
some of them don't
want to
know
I'm
better,
saying.
Pastor. Let's put the oil where the squeak is. Some don't want to know better.
Yeah, the lie was so strong.
Listen,
I'm talking about an experience now. I said the lie was so strong. You got to get with what I'm saying now. I didn't say the truth was strong. I said the lie was so strong. It captivated my life. Yeah, it was popular, and I was miserable, and misery loves company.
Yes, sir.
But as soon as I didn't shoot truth down. I stepped up to truth. You know what I mean? and was glad that truth came my way. Because, you know, just think, I didn't know the truth. I just didn't know the truth. And see,
I
the truth starts at that moment. It don't take but a moment to reach truth. And as a man, I done sit up and lied myself all them years. And here it is, I've been 26 years now, you know. And when I think about that lie, you know, I'd be upset about that lie, man. That was a strong lie.
I feel you. I feel you.
Yeah, man.
I got
so, yeah.
Pastor, let me throw this question at Charles right quick. Yeah. Suppose, Charles, the government said that you can't get food stamps anymore unless you were married to at least one of your baby's daddies. And if he didn't do right, he could be locked up. Where you sit with that, y'all?
That's too much pressure, man.
Say what?
Yeah, you know what? I bet a lot of women want to get married, though. I can see that.
Yeah.
I see that just kind of how it's working right now, where it kind of working in their favor. If they put them on child support, they receive welfare benefits. That's kind of what's going on, too. So, yeah, I can see that.
Right. Charles, one of my jobs that was in 2000. So that's been, 19 years ago now. I was working for a group called the Institute for Responsible Fatherhood. This group was out of Baltimore, and they had a satellite here in Nashville. Well, we were supposed to work with the child support agency, and the organization promoted themselves as being able to get fathers to change their hearts and go back to children and turn their life around and be active in the life of the children. You know what we found out, don't you, y'all? When I went knocking on the door or called them on the phone, I asked to speak to the individual. Hello? That's what I heard when the phone answered. Next thing I know, either click or it was passed on. He ain't here. Now, Charles. I'm going to tell the truth like it is. The truth of the matter is that somebody, and a lot of times it's mamas, who make it easy for great grown dudes to fall short on responsibility. Now, I really believe if more brothers really stepped up to the plate, we can make the case stronger for legislation to remove the barriers to their success. And we can reset the course of our homes, of our families, and improve the quality of life for our children and be right there with them. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. I'm down in the valley all by myself. I can't hear nobody praying.
Oh, no, I can't go against what you stated, that's all. Well, what you stated is true.
Now, Outcast, this is for you, Outcast. This for you. There's another brother who made a very true statement. And he said that I was so busy trying to provide for you that I forgot to love you. And at the end of the day, you know, you left me. And we had problems in our relationship. We couldn't stay together. Brother called his name Brother Willie Bell. Listen to what he said. Tonight we're talking from the topic, how to change urban American tenets of distrust in marriage. Outcast, I can make all the money I want to, man. If I don't stop and show a little love, am I messing up?
Well, the thing is this. A song is a song. But listen, when a man love a woman,
watch out now.
He's going to buy for it.
He can't see nothing else.
Sometimes you have two individuals. In today's time, it takes a man and a woman to work.
Okay.
If that man getting up going to work every morning, he might not tell that woman he love her.
Mm.
He might not even kiss her. But he going out there to He going out there to get that money so he can bring
what?
That money back home and take her home. That woman might not tell her husband that morning before she leave that she love him. But he know she love him because she's there. And they are providing.
Okay, I'm messing with you now. I'm about to mess with you tonight, eh? I'm about to mess with you, man.
Go ahead.
No,
I'm done.
So watch this now. He on his job, and she on her job. And they spending all this time, don't do no overtime, and they with people interacting of the opposite sex. And they say something, they start to bond and get close. Uh-oh. Then they start telling them how good they look. You know.
Oh, okay.
When last time anybody told you how beautiful your eyes were?
Yeah, well, I tell you what. that man got a strong woman.
Wait.
You don't have to worry about
that,
because she's going to put him in his place. She's going to put him in his place to look. I don't think my husband would even like you even talking to me like that.
Okay. Well, wait a minute now.
I don't
now.
Think he'd even appreciate you looking at me like that.
Look here. We work together, though. We got to talk and interact with each other. Now, wait a minute. Wait till this question comes, Pastor Waller. Did it hurt? What? Did what hurt? When you fell from heaven, because you look like an angel. Watch out, Charles. Yeah, come on now. Y'all be real with me now. Tell me that ain't real.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you got a lot of weak women like that, you know. I mean, I can't argue that point and say you're wrong, you know, because you got women that are like that and you got women that are not like that, you know. Even, you know, I mean, as far as they're concerned, you have a husband and wife working on jobs and somebody see you're going to hit on them and tell them how good they look, you know.
Okay.
And if the woman weak, she's going to go for it, and the man right there on the job with her.
You said
now, you
something
saw it
that I like
many times.
Okay. You said something that I would like to challenge. You
okay,
said in this day and time, you got to work two jobs. I want to challenge that for a second.
All right, then go ahead. You speak, and then I'll come in and explain.
Suppose you said to your woman, baby, I'm going to promise you, I'm going to provide what we need. Maybe not everything we want. If all we can eat is peanut butter and jelly 4 nights a week and have a little meat on Friday, then that's what we're going to provide. But I don't want you to have to go exchange time for dollars. I want you to raise our children and instill the values that we agree on and we want to be a worshiping family. What about that, Al-Kai?
Now, what about that?
Yeah.
That's a weak woman. That's
Watch out.
We are not as two. We're as one. You know?
Uh-huh.
Strong woman tell me this, because that's all I deal with now. We going to do this together. You know?
Okay.
You work, I'm going to work. So if you fall, I'm there to pick you up. I'm there to keep everything moving. See?
Okay.
Am I right or wrong?
We got to do
that.
We got to do that.
What if one gets sick, one gets ill, and can't work?
That is
true. Maybe it's the male.
And that's why.
So therefore, in order to keep the things going, the female, she keeps it going. Vice versa.
That's why the vow says, until in sickness and in health, for better for worse, to death do us part, right?
So did I lose?
No. You're right. I have to agree with you. Charles, you agree with him on that?
I have to, according to being married, definitely, yeah.
All right. You and me, you got us 1090. You got both. I believe Pastor Wall agreed, too.
Hey, got my dog over here growling. I'm serious. Right now, my dog started growling behind me.
Uh-oh.
Hey, anything I shut up over there. Mouth's okay.
Pastor Wall, what were you saying, Pastor Wall?
Yeah, I think y'all, you know, you own it, man, because walking in oneness, you know, and then I heard you use the scripture, man, and I without saying it, but that's what you said, to death do part, right? Now, there's a part in that that talks about what God joined together. That means there's no more to it. You know, what God joined together. There's a oneness thing going on. So, yes, I agree. Now, how can you separate the one from the one? You know, I can separate it from the two, but once you put it together, nobody should be able to strip you from the foundation if it's genuine. Mm. And that's why I was saying earlier about the divorce rate when I grew up. Man, what caused them to separate? I mean, did they use those vials, or did they know anything about those vials, or were they just going through the motion? I don't know. I just know they were divorced. I know that. You understand?
Okay.
And so it made me wonder sometimes, you wonder, did God put them together? You know, so it's pretty tough, man. That's a tough shot right there. You know, because if you believe in God and God put it together, who's going to be able to separate it? That means whoever got a job or not, you know, you're on the same accord. You're going to make sure everything is going to be like it's supposed to be. You go through some changes, but you're going through it together. So I just believe that. Go ahead.
Marvin Gaye said he want a sanctified lady. I think I'm with Marvin Gaye. Because a sanctified lady would sleep in a cardboard box with you if she had to. Now I got to witness somebody.
Sanctified lady. Where do you find that? Hey, where do you find a sanctified lady at? That's what I would like to know that. You know?
But now I agree with
that ain't
long.
Fair, man. You got me up against the wall now. We have to one second, let me finish this thought. We're kind of laughing, but Pastor, that's a legitimate question. Where do you find in today's time? Where do you find a you would think you could immediately find it in the church, right? But the question is, where do you find a sanctified lady?
Yeah.
Good question. That's a great question. Outcast Professor wanted to know, what if she said she was going to provide for the family? Is that okay?
No. You know, I think I told you this once before. My mother always told me this. You don't rely on a woman to take care of you. You take care of yourself. As mother stated, it could be ice on the ground.
Watch
she
out.
Tell you to get out. You got to go. Now, was mother right or wrong?
Yeah, well, amen.
Was mother right
amen.
Or wrong?
That's right. Mama right. Professor just replied that a sanctified lady
needs a sanctified
man.
Yes, I do.
Huh?
Okay.
Professor just replied that a sanctified lady needs a sanctified man. Well, that is so true. And I'm going to tell you this, Professor Robinson. Part of the problem is, with all due respect, we collectively have failed as a subgroup. And I'm talking about brothers right now. We heard the OJ say, don't call me brother unless you really mean it. Right? We need to get on our grind and get our act together so that we can be sanctified. What does that mean? To be set aside, to be pure, and to be righteous. Come on, somebody.
Right.
And this will help us to overcome the distrust in marriage and help revitalize our family. When black men, white men, and every other man, I'm talking about black men right now, become sanctified in our thinking and our action, our goals, economically, politically, socially, we can turn our women and children into a better a quality of life. The devil ain't nobody mad but the devil right now.
Yeah, that would be great, man.
Now, how is the
like
church going to get us sanctified, Charles? What the church need to do to help us get sanctified, Charles?
Oh, man.
I ain't messing with you, Charles. I'm just asking, you know.
That's kind of tough, man. I don't know.
That's a tough one, ain't it?
Because people show up every Sunday, man. That's what I'm like. They go to church, they show up. And then it's something about Monday through Saturday, man. It's something else going on in life. I don't know where to get from. But, yeah. You still got to face Monday through Saturday.
I asked myself that question. Charles, I ask myself that question, and Pastor Waller, every time Lord bless me to be in front of another brother, I'm asking myself, am I doing a decent job at making sure he understands that your success comes with your being pure and right before your Creator, before your Maker? If you don't know him, you need to find him right away,
uh-huh.
because that's where your help is. And there's a lot of brothers who think they're doing it on their own, and you don't realize, but for the Creator, you wouldn't be able to breathe out of your nose.
Exactly.
Or pass gas. Let me get back in there. You wouldn't be able to do none of that if it wasn't for the Creator. So you need to find that relationship with Him, that right relationship, so that you can stand in and on the authority that comes with that relationship. Well, somebody was going to say something. I'm sorry. Was that you, Charles?
Waiting on Professor to respond.
Okay. I haven't seen his post yet, but Pastor Waller, what about that?
But
hey, Pastor Dockery. You were saying earlier, and I like the part about the church being, what do you do when it comes down to the church, and should they be the ones who can be the best example? I mean, if I didn't know any better, I automatically would say yes. But since I have been up into the church, and, you know, you would think sanctification would be right there. So, and then I have a chance to learn what sanctified would be. So I know that I'm going to stumble up on me a wife in the church. But apparently, man, apparently now, that had happened. So could I stumble upon a wife down on the way, on the stroll? Could I stumble upon
a wife? I heard somebody say, he that findeth the wife findeth the good thing.
That's right. And so he didn't say find it in church. You know what I mean? And so I just want to make sure that, you know, I want to know where you find a sanctified woman at. And I just believe that, you know, it's amazing that you raised that question. So I'm right there. I appreciate, you know, you bringing that up, man. But I don't think it's always in the church to find that sanctified woman. It would be great if it was that way. I'm sure every man should run up into the church, you know, knowing that he's going to find her right there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm still out. So I've seen
a few hellions, you know, in the church. They weren't sanctified at all. But I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
You know, if I want to stay right there for a second, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
How you change these tenets that we see prevalent in urban American neighborhoods and families is that's it right there. You teach and you encourage and you model sanctification for men and women. And guess what? You can erase the distrust in marriage and in the family.
I believe
that's
that.
What our children don't have is the promise there.
Yes.
Of grown folk making a commitment to themselves that we're going to be responsible enough to model sanctification to our children. When I see people make the, we got about 10 minutes, 12 minutes here. When I hear people make the argument, man, we need to put prayer back in the schools. If your children are sanctified at home and when they leave the house and they go to school, guess what? You brought prayer with them.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah. They bring righteousness with them. And the more of our children are righteous, the more righteousness we have in school, on the streets, on the buses, on the corners, everywhere. But what are our babies doing? The ones that are getting caught up in gangs and shooting and what have you. They're the ones out there because of unrighteousness examples. They find themselves victims of the circumstance. And this is how we turn this thing around. And what I'm hinting at tonight, gentlemen, is the fact that as the church institution, theologically, we've got to get to a point where we teach men and women to be sanctified and righteous in their actions. And guess what? The rest of their life would be improved if they did. Something is wrong with our theology if that's not what we're teaching and encouraging.
I agree.
Yeah. Something is wrong.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. Go ahead, Pastor. What are we going to say?
May I ask a question?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Since you mentioned school, taking prayer out of school, what exactly? I don't have the right understanding, but exactly what is going on with these lunches for these children in school? I mean, what is this all about? You know.
Just right quickly, here in Davidson County, superintendent decided that the school board, they were going to provide free lunches to all the children. We have a lot of new people come to Nashville, and a lot of them are homeless because of the gentrification and shifting of population. And then you have a lot of refugees here and a lot of foreigners. So to keep them from not having food. They just said, we're just going to put it in the budget. And Mayor Berry, before she left, she approved that in the last year's budget to just provide free lunch to everybody. And there are a lot of children who out of shame, don't eat free lunch. So since lunch is free for everybody, you don't have to ask anybody, are you on welfare, basically. That's essentially what it was. And so now they realize that that was a big bill, and that's a lot of money. We don't have money to give away like that. The truth of the matter is most of those children getting free lunch that qualify, the way you qualify is to qualify for food stamps and other assistance. So the question is, what's being done with the money that they're getting for to feed their children? I mean, that's a whole other issue, though. That's
right. I mean, I just decided to answer because I remember, you know, what's coming up in the 60s, well, basically the late 60s, 70s, you had to basically be on some type of assistance or have a real low income in order for a child to get free lunch.
That's right. That's right.
But, and, you know, things don't remain the same. But I'm sorry, you know, I just asked that question. But may I ask this question?
Yes, sir.
Concerning marriages and things in that nature, you know.
Okay, yes, sir.
I saw the same thing, you know, that Pastor Wallace saw. And I think we touched this a long time ago. What causes the breakup? You know, is it someone who is basically unstable? Or what? This is a challenge, but I realize that the question would have more than one answer. But what would be your main
I'm glad you asked it. Typically, when people get married, 1098, the assumption is the male is saying, I'm marrying you, woman, and the woman is saying, I'm marrying you, man. Well, in the beginning, when Elohim created male and female, woman was not around when he made Adam. So how's she going to commit to something she don't know nothing about? And when he made Eve from Adam, he was totally unconscious in a deep sleep. He didn't even know. What both of them needed to do is to go to the maker and let the creator lead them and make a commitment. God, you gave me this woman as my helpmate. And the woman says, I accept the role as his helpmate. Now, Lord, lead us together and make us one. Pastor Wallace, that's what Jesus was talking about. He said, what God has put together, let no man pull asunder. I would submit to you that a lot of marriages are not based on that premise of 1098. And that is that we're committing ourselves to work as one in order to fulfill God's purpose for us. Because there's nothing I can do on my own for a woman by myself. I'm going to need the Almighty to lead me, guide me, sustain me in order for me to do that. But I need to find out what my purpose is if she's going to help me fulfill it. Amen, Walt. Now, sister said, I got my own career. I got my own purpose. Well, we got conflict already. Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to help me do my thing, why are we talking about some other thing somebody else suggested to you? Talk to me, somebody.
You want to answer that, Pastor Wall?
I mean, that's what she's supposed to be, right?
That's what the Bible says.
She was brought to you. That's why I felt so bad, because I found out that she was brought to the man.
That's right.
You know, to help you. I didn't know that until I got out of bondage. Now I didn't know that when I was in bondage. So you know, now I just didn't know. But I was just I was just grateful to find out, man. At least I know now. Okay,
yeah.
She's an extraordinary woman, man. To be able to be brought to a man, that means that man got to be tuned up all right. You know, that's what I.
Hey, bro, pastor.
Yes, sir.
Proverbs 31:10 fix up what you're talking about. Who can find a virtuous woman?
Right.
Her price is far above rubies and gems. Help me, Holy Ghost. You understand what I'm saying? Y'all don't get me happy tonight, because if you don't start nothing, it won't be nothing, Pastor Wallace.
Hey, man. Y'all go ahead and do your thing, brother. Y'all doing
it. We got about 5.5 minutes here before it's time for us to leave. I've enjoyed the conversation. I want to just say this as we leave. What is important is that the distrust comes from being out of order. Okay? and when we can learn to be in order. As a pastor, and anybody else that is a pastor, if you go to church, lean on your pastor and ask him, if I find that my marriage is challenged and things are not right, help me find how to be sanctified enough and be sanctified walking with my wife so that we can be in order so our marriage can thrive. Because when that happens, your children will be all right.
Yeah.
Your children will be all right.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And this is the message that needs to go to urban America, Pastor Waller.
All right.
If we're going to be any good to them, we need to help them understand theologically. You got to be in order first if you're going to be successful with anything. One thing our people don't like is discipline, and the other thing is we don't like order. And that's a problem. If anybody's going to be successful,
right,
you must be disciplined and in order. That's me or anybody
that's
else
right.
for that matter. That's not a black thing or a white thing. That's a reality thing.
That's just what it is.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Man, wow. Pastor Waller, what are you doing with the clock, man?
Again, man.
We've been talking from the topic how to change urban American tenets of distrust in marriage. I hope you got some from it. Next Tuesday, I thought I would be out of town. I will be, but it'll be closer toward the weekend next week. But we will be here, and we're going to have our guest from St. Louis. I'm excited about this brother coming and sharing them with you all, and him sharing his story about how they turned a tragedy, Outcast, into a blessing, man. I'm going to be posting some of the pictures on Facebook in the group. What it looked like when it was destroyed and what it looked like today, man. It's a beautiful thing, beautiful thing, beautiful thing. And that's what we can do right here in Nashville, Outcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And everywhere else for that matter. And everywhere else for that matter. Those are examples of very positive.
Getting people involved, it's one thing
right.
to sit and talk, but actually getting out and putting some things to work,
enjoy.
You know.
Yes,
you know, numbers. You know, you don't need a lot of numbers to get a sample size.
That's true.
Charles
has got me pushing me out there, and there's something that I'm going to make another attempt here locally to do, Outcast.
Yeah.
So I hope you'll be able to. If you're not working, you'll be able to join us. You're right.
I'm mobile. You know, I went back to work. You know, I went back last week. I'm about, I would say I'm about 7%, you know, I'm 30 away, but hey, God gave me mine back and I appreciate it.
All right, yeah, all right. Praise God. 30 seconds, I'm counting, Outcast, then we go to Pastor Waller and because we got two minutes here, about 2:20. Go ahead, Outcast, 30 seconds, give me a word of encouragement before I leave here tonight.
Hey, we got to keep moving, that's it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, Pastor, right quickly. Give me about 30 seconds.
Amen. We just like Outcast said, we got to keep moving. But the number one thing that I would suggest for us to do is to keep God first. And how to do that is that without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we just got to keep him first and keep on pushing and watch everything be all right at that point.
I believe that'll preach right there.
Oh, my.
I believe that'll preach right there. Yeah. You've been listening to Talk Straight. You've been listening to Pastor Ricky Waller. There he is. And my good friend, Brother Outcast, thank you for joining us. And Charles sat in with us tonight. We appreciate him as well. We'll be back next Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock sharp. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, as the old folk used to say. But these brothers say you got to wake up everybody. No more sleeping in bread. Harold Melvin in the Blue Note. Let's hear what he says.
Mm-hmm. Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh,